Of course, the selfish one is the most arrogant,
You know it.
dumpy. My
It
God,
wouldn't
welcome.
be me.
It wouldn't be you if it wasn't you, without you being a Nimrod. But shout out to you. Welcome back to the break room, everybody. Another
What
episode.
up? Oh.
Hey, I call it the break room because I feel like sometimes in life we should stop, take a break, reassess where we're at, and reflect. So here we are in the break room. I'm here with two special ladies, one you know already, and one you will know. It's pretty selfish.
Not
But nah, I'm playing. I'm playing. No, you
fair.
last.
You'll soon find out why we go at it, and you're gonna see it. You're gonna be on my side, basically.
We go at it because y'all see, like you said, y'all see why. You will see why. Well, last week you met Cynthia. Shout out to Sin. How you doing, Sin?
I'm good. I'm chilling. I'm excited for this episode.
Sin, before we get to Jocelyn, Sin, a lot of dudes were in my DMs. Yo, it's
I
like,
mean, can you help it? Like, hello?
yo, I had to get like a virtual paddle. Like, calm down. Like, stop. Horny, stop. Relax. They were like, yo, who's that? Yo, who's that chick,
Yeah,
son?
some
Yo,
of
where
them
else?
slid in my DMs.
Some of them even slipped in it.
Selfish. Just, I bet you they didn't even watch the whole podcast, right? Like, that's what they did not do.
Some of them slipped in your
Men.
DMs for sure. Yo, you know it's bad when it's in my DMs. Yo, who's that? But yeah, Cynthia, you made an impression the last episode from last week. I think you did a great job articulating yourself. I think the buzz follows. Yo, every time I go to the views on YouTube, on our YouTube page, by the way, the break room, youtube.com, the break room, log on, subscribe. It's like the views keep popping up and they all are enamored by you. So shout out to you and your greatness.
No, I got a lot of positive feedback about you too.
I mean, you know, my hair and everything. But now we got the third musketeer. You know, we got the other one in the room, the selfish one.
The
The selfish one, the OG, the
one.
one that racks my brain and makes me go crazy every day.
Yeah.
My God, how do I describe this person in my life?
Who doesn't
She
love a challenge?
I call her the beautiful nuisance.
Say that.
You know, because she, I'm like, oh, Al would say she's a circus, but that's Al. I got Miss Jocelyn on the check-in on the line. Jocelyn, explain yourself, introduce
Hello,
yourself.
hello, hello, guys.
Okay, shout out to you for joining us tonight. Originally, it's always supposed to be us three, but you've been a little shy. Why are you shy? Why are you so shy?
I'm shy because I don't like to be like the center of attention, if that makes sense.
Yeah, but you are an admitted extrovert. In person, you've told me that you are an
Yes,
extrovert.
I am. I am. Very.
So how
I'm
can what?
very social. I'm talking. You see, I'm talking. I
You're
just,
very.
I can't.
Cheers.
I can't like just have people just stare at me. I get shy.
Not just social. We've been together happy hour. You toy with these men. Okay. You tangle wedded weaves. Like you be.
Right, but see, like they're not just staring. Like, and no one is just sitting here just staring. Like, you know, like just watching. Like,
Well, they're
why are you
digesting
watching
you.
me?
Or is it just the fact of multiple people watching you at once, like all
Right.
eyes
I
on
mean,
you?
this is the reason why I always say, like, I never made it to become a stripper because,
Okay.
like, you
Okay.
know, like, I thought that at one point, you know, because I like dancing. So, you know, let me strip, you know, well, go-go dance, not strip because I'm shy because of that. But, you know, because I just can't just have people just sit there and just watch.
I don't know, but Cinnamon needs a dance partner.
I mean, you
Yo.
know.
Yeah. You know, it's funny. Sidebar. You talking about stripping. I don't know if y'all noticed, but especially with women, yo, the OnlyFans money, the economy of OnlyFans, how many creeps there are out there that are paying women thousands upon thousands of
Yeah.
dollars to look at feet or just to watch women play cards or something.
I'd be
Yo.
lying if I said I didn't go on FreeFinder.com just to see how that looked, but
Yo. But yeah.
if they have hands model, like I gave it a try, but I'm like, no, it's too skinny. It didn't work out.
It's almost like, yo, there's a lot of deviants out there willing to pay. I'm not that much of a horny ass dude. Like, I'm good. Like, I'm not
But
paying through.
does it make them horny? No, they're just taking care of their fetish.
But fetish is horny. Isn't that
Is it?
horny? I mean, if you have a fetish of watching a woman paint her toenails or watching her take showers or whatever, that is some, that's not.
Okay, it's like a high. I don't want to say horny, maybe a high. You know, like to get rid of that that crave. Like, it's a crave. It's just like, you know, when you just craving a cheeseburger. Like, I don't know. That's how I see it. I don't see them all being horny. Like,
what do you think, Sin? Do you think a dude who goes on OnlyFans and watches women just do whatever, they're not necessarily horny? What do you think?
I just think that since they can't get any in real life, any type of action, that's their last resort. Because I feel like guys that get it on a regular or get any type of attention on a regular, they don't have to do that.
They're not paying.
Yeah. I mean, well, to a certain extent, because guys taking you out on dates and like buying this and that for you, it is kind of like, kind of sort of paying for the...
So do that make them... Does that make...
Yes. Because they're doing it for a reason.
What?
Bro,
selfish.
I was selfish. Oh, by the way, sidebar, before we continue, me and Jocelyn have this running joke and this running battle where she calls me selfish, I call her selfish. Why? Because she feels a lot of men are just naturally selfish, and I sometimes feel the opposite. I sometimes feel like some ladies are just like out for self, self-indulged, selfish. And so we go back and forth, but continue selfish, you were saying?
That's what I'm saying, that men are just selfish because they do it since.
All right, Jazz, but question. So now, when we go out to happy hour or whatever, and you go to buy a guy a drink, is that not you being horny? Because you're buying them for something, and it's for some type of attention.
Definitely the attention. Ah! Okay.
You want something.
Right. But it's not on a sexual type thing. It's just like, let me be nice. Let me take up some of your time. Let me see what you're about before I make the next one.
I think we're always all filling each other out. But the thing is, I think men are a little more direct about their intentions.
That's a lie.
No?
That's a lie.
Okay. Well, listen, before we get ahead of ourselves.
Yes.
You know, I want to address how, like I said, last week was a good episode for Sin. And now we're here with Jocelyn, and I'm glad you're here, Jocelyn, because I feel like there's a lot to unpack. Me and you and Sin and a few others, we always have these discussions about what is love? Is love real? What's unconditional love? What's in love? What's infatuation? What is the power of sex? Is sex important? Various topics.
Lust as well.
Lust, and how powerful is lust? Should we respect lust? So we were arguing recently in our group chat, in our group text on IG, and we were talking about a video about
a woman women shouldn't seek sex as a stress healer.
Right, we're talking about sex as a stress reliever, and me and you were having a little discussion in the hallways about, is sex a stress reliever? And I was telling you, Jocelyn, I have an unpopular opinion about sex. And my unpopular opinion is that, maybe it's not that unpopular, but I feel like in our generation or in the last couple of years, it's really lost its footing. I feel like sex is more spiritual than we give it credit to. And I feel like sex nowadays in action is too frivolous. It happens too often. It's lost its value amongst people. Lust is overpowering love. Lust is a mirage over love. You know, like when you're in the desert and you think you see a cactus and water and some plants.
It's deceiving.
It's deceiving. It's not real. It's not accurate. And I feel like sex has replaced the opportunity to truly connect with somebody because you're too thirsty to use sex as either a weapon or a way to validate yourself to that person or vice versa. So I feel like we should be slowing down. Mind you, the data shows lately that sex is actually slowing down with our teenagers. The kids today are having sex less, they're drinking less, and they're going to clubs. They're going to clubs less.
Yeah.
So I wonder, what is it about our generation, the 30 to 40-year-olds, and how we view sex versus the newer kids? You have a daughter and a son who are adults now. I have a daughter who's an adult. And Sin, you're parentless, so you have money in your pockets. Mm-hmm. You're straight on that, and you're not broke like us. But what is it about us why do you think I'm saying that sex is used too infrequently and it's lost its meaning? And do I agree or disagree?
Josh, you want to take the floor first?
Okay.
Josh, you disagree with me. You were like, no, sex is, it can be pleasure, yada, yada.
I did ask Sin at the gym, and she said, no, that it's not. So my take on sex being a stress reliever, it wasn't to go deep into like if you already in a relationship, right? Right. It was just like if it's on the to-do list as far as not on the to-do list. Like, you know, when you are just stressed long day, you want to come home, you have a glass of wine. Why can't that be on the list? That's the point where I'm going.
It matters though if it's with someone that you don't necessarily truly care about or love.
Does it matter the wine? Like, you know what I'm saying?
It does matter because there's a difference between having sex with somebody you feel about and having sex with somebody you actually love. It's different, Josh.
Right. And I'm not saying in a relationship because if you're in a relationship, is it really a stress reliever? No, that's who you're sexing, right? And if you're arguing and you're upset, like there's a disagreement, you're not going to have sex thinking that that's going to fix the situation. You get what I'm saying? I'm thinking no outside relationship. Like, I'm single, coming home. Why not? Well, I'm tired of my wine. Why can't I just have, you know, come over real quick. Believe me.
I mean, you can have that option. No one's denying you that right. What I would say is sometimes sex with someone who you don't have a strong bond with, you don't have something that you're building towards, maybe it's a deterrent from you finding out and exploring yourself or someone worthwhile.
What sometimes, if I want to? What if I just want to be in a situation?
I'm glad you said that word.
So situation. What's wrong with wanting to have sex as a stress reliever? Or what is wrong for just females to be just open and be like, you know what? I love to have sex.
Because of sex demons.
All right, but...
Sex demons, what's that?
Sex demons, yes, but...
What are sex demons?
I don't think every woman can, though. I don't think every woman can just hold on to just having sex, right? Because it's somehow some form... So you gotta really be strong because, you know, like, you gotta not emotionally connect. It has to be a deal. Detachment. You have to know that this is what it is, and can you handle it? If you can't handle it, then you can't be. You get what I'm saying? Like,
first, I want to ask Sin, what are sex demons? And then after that, I want to respond to the idea that having sex with somebody, you can have sex with somebody that you're not emotionally connected to. Because you said something emotionally connect. So I'm going to get to that. But first, what are sex demons, Sin?
Okay, so sex demons is, you know, when you have sex, you're basically exchanging energies with the person. Okay. So depending on what type of frequency and energy that person is on, is going to transfer onto you. So for an example, if this person is feeling shitty or they're just in a negative space or they're just going through something, now they're transferring that onto you and now you're the one that's going to carry that and vice versa.
But if you're not in a shitty mood and you're negative, why are you even having sex? Like, you're not in the mood.
Because there's some people that they will still be in that type of funk and then still go and just fuck around to fuck around.
Stress reliever. Thank you. See, Mike?
I'm denying that exists. I'm saying it's not a conducive or functional progressive thing to do for yourself.
It's not like a healthy.
You're not healthy.
Okay, follow up, Sin. So if you know that this person is, you're exchanging sex demons, right? Because this is not someone that you emotionally connect to, right? It's just someone that, you know, you kind of like, you know, whatever, you chilling. Let's use the term chilling. Mm-hmm. Why are you continuing to have sex if you know that he or she's transferring that negative?
I think because you're avoiding growth. I think because you're avoiding something, not you in particular. I think that person is avoiding something deeper at play that can down the line be more fruitful to their life. I think sometimes we use sex as a way to, like, it's a band-aid to a cancer at times. It's like, you know, like, I shouldn't be with this person. We're not good for each other ultimately. They're wasting my time. I have potential people else out there or could be out there that I could be spending my time with and working to build something with. But this person satisfies parts of my ego, parts of my negative psyche.
But that's why then sometimes after the fact, you will feel like shit still because you know all of these things and you're doing it with this person that is still giving you that type of energy, like how I was saying, and now you feel like shit. Even though you just, you know, finished having sex with this person.
Well, guess what? You're going to do it again, right? Because the sex is good. So whose fault is that? You get what I'm saying?
Are you saying that if sex is good, it may have the potential to overpower your better thoughts or your better, like, what you know to be better for yourself at that moment? Like, Like, just because something is available, does it mean you should do it? Where does discipline come into play?
There's none.
No. Okay, so I will say there was
going to be strong to really just be like, you know what, it's good, but no, I'm not gonna touch it.
So you give in. Are you telling me, Johnson, that you give in sometimes to your lowest inhibitions? You're the little devil on your shoulder. Like, he wins sometimes, he or she. Like, it's all right, Jocelyn, go ahead and do that. Like,
heck yeah.
But why don't you fight
back? And then I'll just be like, you know what? I'll deal with it later.
Why don't you fight back?
Whatever comes out of it.
What stops you from fighting back in that moment?
Because she wants to fuck.
Yeah.
There you go. Listen, basically. I can relate. As a former bachelor, I can relate. You know what I'm saying? But I did recognize, like, damn, like, when I was a bachelor, when I was single, I'd be like, what did I do, girl? There's no reason why I should be out with her.
Yeah, I felt that way before, too.
I just feel that nowadays, society, right, you act like it's so different now than then, right? But think about it before us. Like, it was just only the men out there, because women, you crazy, if women step out, it's you know, yeah. God forbid, right? And it's looked down upon. It's wrong, right? Everything was so religion, and it had to set, right? And then society changed. So it's just like now women and male are equal, right? They get the pay salary. Like, we get to vote, like, all that stuff. So it's just like we got the sense of power. So it's like, why can't we? You know, why can't? If men can go out there and have, why can't we?
Because women are more emotional.
I didn't say it, but since you're there, I mean.
But if we are, by nature, we are. We are emotional, and that's a given. But why is that looked fawned upon? Like, females out there and then male out there. Okay, we're not, and we're never going to be like this, and I totally agree. But what's wrong? Like, if you can like it, why can't I like it?
There has been, in the recent years, a sexual explosion. That's our pause. A sexual explosion of... There has been a recent, like, from the Me Too era on, there has been, like, a sexual explosion of women really taking the autonomy of their sexual being, their sexual nature, how they feel about themselves. And they have been more forthright in expressing themselves. I think that's
right. I feel like then they couldn't.
Amber Rose had a slut walk a few years ago. She's crazy. And you've had like just movements of like, I am me, I'm a woman, etc. And I'm that's cool. I do caution that, ladies, just because now you can swing your dick like a man means you should. Like, just because you can now feel like you can move how a man has moved historically doesn't mean it was good for them too. You know what I'm saying? Like, in some ways, men have been backward species for a while in certain issues, have been regressive in certain issues. And you shouldn't take on some of their traits because you feel like, now I can do it. You know what I'm saying? Like, if we believe that men are sometimes imperfect and unhappy, that doesn't mean we should be now taking some of their traits and trying their style out or their clothing on. You know, I would caution against that because men have a lot to learn in their own right. But what I would...
Men are selfish.
Okay, selfish. But you'll hear that word a lot tonight, mostly by me, because I'm gonna crank it up now.
No, but I get the part of women being held to a higher standard, and we should always, right? And we should always carry ourselves. But I also don't see the wrong in them wanting to be free. Yeah.
No. Be free. I think everybody should be free and do what you want. You know, like, I don't know how y'all feel, but growing up on half a days. Or days off from school, and we'd have like hookup parties and hangout parties in high school and in college of like a bunch of guys and girls hang out in a crib, red light special, there you go. And you know, there'd be some women out there and they'd have, you know, trains on them. And you know, me 20 years ago, I'd be like,
well, those are girls with daddy issues a lot of the times.
I can't be a part of this. You know, I mean, like, this is terrible. But now, like, well, where does she have the autonomy and the control to say, no, I want to be a part of this. No, I am a willing participant. No, I enjoy it. No, I am dominating these dudes. I control who comes in this room or not. I control. I have to ask myself, is that something I play to, or is it a mixed bag? The situational where some women are like being controlled because they have mental issues, or is it a possibility that some women are really in control and say, no, I choose to have. I don't know if you saw recently, there's a woman that for her birthday, she had 100 men or 1,000 men in one day. I don't know if you saw that.
I saw that.
You saw that, right?
No. Yeah,
and now she's pregnant. She's trying to figure out who's the father. But
what?
It was either 100 men in one day for her birthday or 1,000, one or the other. But it was a popular thing, like last month or 2 months ago. And, you know, there's a part that's like, you know, like, listen, she made a choice, you know? She made a choice to be in that situation, and you have to respect that. But then the boyish person in me is like, yo, she's wild. She's a fucking slore. Like, you know, and who's right? Who's wrong? I don't know. I support women.
Yeah, I feel like stuff like that is to each. That's how I look at it. To each his own. As long as the person is not harming themselves or anyone else in the process.
But that is kind of harming themselves, like, because.
Don't judge.
Well, what about all of the STDs and STIs? Because remember, there's also a lot of things that men carry that they won't have symptoms of, and then they'll go and transfer it onto the woman, and it actually affects the woman more, because remember, we have different organs and things like that. So the guy could be chilling, and now the female's fucked up.
Are we an over-sexualized society? You know, look at music, you know, like, think about all the female rappers we have lately, from the Nicki Minaj's to the Ice Spice's.
Sexy Red.
She's at the low of the totem pole. There's people I'm forgetting. You know, only Young Ma is not sexual. And even she be talking about some shit.
Mm-hmm.
But it's like, and I remember a few years ago, Jermaine Dupri, the producer, he was talking about these ladies, these particular ladies. And he was saying, well, you know, they're stripper rap. They're stripper rap. People were offended. Like, nah, you can't call them strippers. They're women. They're artists. But it's like, some of that music, City Girls, you know, they're pretty much sexualized. Do you think we live in a sexualized society, especially with women? And if so, who has the power to change that?
You know? I feel like that was men's fault, because men started all that with their music, talking about, you know, fucking bitches, doing this, doing that. So it kind of gave females this image. So now it gave females the opportunity to be like, well, if they could be rapping about all of that, and like, now they're popping and they're lit, then I can too. And that's, you know.
And I agree with her. And then to piggyback, it's again, the influence. So the freedom. So the women's are rapping now, oh, freedom. Like, hey, yeah. So it's giving the woman who are low down, you know what I'm saying? And kind of sort of like ashamed, maybe embarrassed. I'm like, wait, what they doing and they rapping about it? So you know what? Let me be confident and say, like, and be me. And just be over with it.
I get that. And you said the word freedom. So it makes me wonder, is sexual liberation the ultimate form of freedom for women? Like, if we live in a new world today where, like I said, Me Too, no more judgment, be who you want to be, express yourself. Is sexual liberation the ultimate way of saying, yo, I'm free and nobody, you know, controlling me. And here's how I dress, how I look, etc. Is that the last, like, is that the mega... The number one thing to express your freedom is a sexual liberation, or are there other ways?
No, I think for me it's control.
Control. Okay.
Like, I control the narrative. I control who I want, who I want to sleep with, who I'm talking to, and stuff like that. So for me, freedom is
that. Have you ever had a man try to control you?
Yes.
How do you navigate that? Oh, I'm actually too, Sin.
It didn't work.
Bye.
Right.
Bye.
Deuces.
Okay. What's controlling? What is controlling from a man's point of view to you? Like, how do you know you're feeling controlled?
Or when they try to tell you how to dress, what you should and shouldn't post on Instagram or any type of social media, where you should and shouldn't go, who you shouldn't and shouldn't hang out with, and all this other stuff.
Your money, finance, how you dictate yourself, who you hanging out with, just a little bit of everything.
Are you saying it's like, don't do that, or it's like an advisement, like, you shouldn't hang out with that girl. She's crazy. How does it sound?
Well, also tone matters. So it can be like, you know what? Like, this girl kind of wild, crazy. I'm feeling uncomfortable because I don't know, and I don't want to start not trusting you. And I don't, whatever. But I don't know. It's kind of hard with a friend. But she was there before you. So you're going to have to just learn how to trust me that I'm not that. You get what I'm saying? And
okay. Just,
we'll make it work, however.
What bothers me the most is that a lot of the times these guys meet you the way that they want to change you. And it's like, you met me when I was dressing like this, when I was hanging out with these people, when I was doing this, when I was doing that. Now that you got me, you want me to change. Like, Nah.
So you don't believe in Beyonce upgrade you? They're not trying to upgrade you?
Well, it depends. Like,
Jocelyn said, financially, you buying us a house. We building a business. Like, you pushing me, you supporting me through school, whatever, and stuff like that. That's upgrade. Not trying to change my whatever.
Okay.
You don't agree?
I'll play devil's advocate. I can see how a man can be like, yo, I fuck with her. I rock with her, but I feel like some of her moves be shaky, and let me try to like put her on game to see what, from my point of view, how she could be moving better than how she's moving. And I see potential in her, and I want to help her out. I can see that, but you have the lived experience, both of y'all, of knowing when it feels like an advisor versus a control freak, an aggressor. You know what I'm saying? Y'all have that.
Mike, what does helping out look
like? Yo, I mean, listen, I've been in a situation where, like, I was dating somebody back in the day, and her friend was just, like, a bimbo slash, you could tell, untrustworthy slash loose with herself and her body. And I fear that she, in a foxhole, in other words, in a jam, she may not be able to hold you down. Like, she's shaky. She's not trustworthy. And I don't trust her moves. And she may put you in a position where it feels like freedom, a night out on the town, but she may have you jammed up with people that she don't even really trust or don't know too well. And it might have you fucked up too in a way. So for that, I'd be like, yo, you'd be careful who you co-sign, because this person might have you jammed up one night with some weirdos, some weird dudes, but she's just trying to get down and have a good time, whatever that means. But now you caught up in the mix as well. So there's moments like that I try to like advise you on, but I'm a firm believer of do you, and whatever the results happen, it's something that you manifested. It is what it is. You know what I'm saying?
But it's like what Jocelyn said too, is about the tone. Like the way you just said it is like, okay, like that's something I could actually sit down and, you know, actually hear you and consider it, as opposed to someone just like attacking you. It's that part that I don't like. Because it's like, you could talk to me, we could talk, you know, have conversation, and you tell me how you're feeling or what you're seeing. Because, you know, somebody from the outside is always going to see things that you can't, because you're in it.
Right. Well, you received that. Well, I don't know if Jocelyn or someone in that position might receive it the same exact way. They may, you know, sometimes our ego comes into play where it's like, what? We trying to tell me? And they don't want to hear the medicine being told to you. They just want to go ahead and just, you know, have their ego defend them and be like, nah, fuck that. No one told you nothing. So it depends. It depends on how the woman receives it, you know?
I'm down for constructive criticism. Like, I take that very well. I want to see, like, since that, you outside looking in. So, you know, let me know, whatever. But it's all about how you just, the deliverance, the tone. And if I'm really fucking with you, like, if we are trying to build something, then I'm going to listen. You know, I'm going to listen. I'm going to take your points. I'm going to validate it, you know, to a certain extent that it pleases the both of us. Because, again, you met me, like Sin said, you met me how you met me, right? Obviously, however I was, but I was shaking my ass, that turned you on, right? Because you still wanted to talk to me, right? So why now that we are exclusive, does that stop? I should be able to shake my ass when I'm with you. I should be able to shake my ass when I'm not with you. You know what I'm saying? While I'm standing on tables or whatever the case may be, I should be able to be me.
No, you should be able to be you. I do think we naturally tone things down about ourselves when we lock down with somebody. And you said something right now, Jocelyn. You said, if I'm fucking with you, let me ask you, both of y'all, how do y'all know when y'all truly like somebody? What changes about you, your actions? How do y'all know, oh, I really like this dude? How do you guys know that?
When I don't want to entertain anybody else anymore.
For me, it would be like looking for your phone call or your messages. Like, I'm really interested.
Okay, so when you're seeking somebody, or when you're shutting people out, Sin. Like, that's it. Or when you're shutting somebody out, other people out. Okay, I was wondering. You said fuck with somebody, so I was curious. Okay. All right, well, listen, you said that sex is a stress reliever. I disagree somewhat. I think it's a momentary stress reliever. Sin, I think, kind of agrees with me on that. Okay. Yeah. Well, I want to ask y'all, to piggyback off of sex, I want to ask y'all, how do y'all define, if at all, unconditional love versus in love and versus potentially transactional love? So in other words, how do you know when you like love somebody through and through, you do anything for them, and you know there's nothing you can do to break this bond with somebody, versus someone you feel like, I'm in love with them, I'm in the throes of it, I'm deeply in it. As someone who's like, this is something, this is a means to an end. What you like to say, Jocelyn, a situationship, that phrase from you a billion times, it drives me crazy to hear that phrase. I can't stand that phrase. I want to put that phrase in the cap.
Mike, the new thing, Mike.
I want to put.
You wouldn't understand. You're married.
Listen, thank God I'm out the streets. I hate right, that. Hey, yo.
Being in a situation is not a bad thing.
Sin, I hate that.
On the same page.
What is the value? No, before I continue, what is the value of a situationship? Please explain to me.
I think it's just short-term entertainment.
Right.
But why? Whenever I wrote a rough draft, it's to make sure the final draft was ready to be written. So I never just wrote just to write. I'm writing this rough draft to make sure it's right. I read it back to me like, yes, this is how I want to present myself.
And another rough draft, right?
Until that's not for
right,
me.
That's right, until you make that when you type it up, right?
Depends how many topics. It's different essays.
Right.
Every topic calls for a different essay.
Right, subtitles, like, you know? Wait, I gotta go back to the introduction.
You be having subtitles. And you be writing outside the margins. Listen, what I'm saying is, man, like, I feel like this might sound very traditional. I feel like when you should practice something, it's to make it perfect. In other words, like, if you're with somebody, it should be for a goal, an end goal. You know, because you really believe that this person is someone you can invest in. I'm always baffled by the whole idea of situationship, because I feel like a situationship, it just sounds so in the air and nothing.
That's
to come
exactly
of it.
What it is.
What's the value in that?
That's no value. It's like, what's it said? It's for entertainment. So for me, it's like it works well, right? Because I'm getting what I need without having to deal with, like, compromise, maybe? Right?
Compromise. Oh, I want to hear this. Selfish. Because, you know, people who are not selfish compromise, but selfish.
Right, compromise, okay. Right? Compromise, and then also, like, it's just until I find my one. So this one person works, right? It's a vibe, right? Obviously, the sex is good. And we know what's up, where there's likeness, but there's no real emotional attachment to the situation, so it just works. You know, we know what it is. But again, it has to be on the same page from front. Like, if I was to ever catch feelings, which I had at one point, I had to let it go because it was not fair to the both of us. Like, you know what I'm saying? Oh, now I'm catching feelings, so I expect you to do this, whatever. A situationship is just something without expectations.
If you catch feelings.
We don't owe each other anything, right? And then it's just, for me, it's just until, like, all right, I have this person who's solid, who's giving me, like, sex or whatever it is, just solid, while I find, you know, the others. I feel like situations is just an upgrade from friends with benefit or just fucking with benefit.
Don't get me started on breakfast benefits. Don't get me started on that.
I feel that's what that is. We just live in a situation.
Well, what's the difference, though? I feel like there is no difference.
What is
the difference? No, I'm saying the term. It's just the word. It's not. We're no longer saying fucking for benefits. We're just saying situations.
So the actions and the sentiments are the same. It's a different terminology now.
Yes.
Well, I would ask, like, what, Sin, you tell me, what is the benefits to a friends with benefits / situationship? What is the value that comes out of it? Do you feel?
None, really. Because eventually one person is going to end up getting hurt. That's how situationships usually end.
That's how I see it.
Or you get bored. Or you find your one along the way.
Okay. And me and you, Joss, have talking about the idea of finding your one while you're in the throes of a situationship. I always argue with you or debate with you the idea of how can you have the clear thought and the space to find someone and to focus on that person if you're caught up with this situationship that you have on the side.
The situationship is not taking up space in my head.
Really?
It's taking up space on my phone, but not
it's taking up space somewhere else.
Right.
Okay. But I argue that that's something else, that transfer of energy that Sin alluded to, that is spiritual. I feel like that shit, if it's good.
There's going to be some more.
But if it's good, it takes some real estate up here. It has to take some real estate in your brain.
No. So I don't know. Maybe I'm the exception, but no, not for me. No.
So you're a sociopath. You're Ted Bundy or
maybe selfish, Mike. Selfish.
Jeffrey Dahmer. Jeffrey Dahmer with the people in the building. I mean, the fridge, the people in the fridge. You're telling me you can disassociate the emotions from the act.
I'm telling you that I know there's no expectations. And if you're okay with that, then continue. That's what I'm saying.
So you never had feelings for somebody that it wasn't official or it wasn't concrete, like exclusive?
What do you mean? Like in a situation? I have feelings, right? Likeness. But it's, I don't know how to explain it. Like it's not, are they real? I don't know, because I can meet the one tomorrow and he's getting left, if you get what I'm saying. So I don't know if it's real, whatever, but...
Okay. Listen, then I don't get it.
But what's the difference between me having the situation, or just anyone, anything of being in a situation, than male just going around cheating?
Well, I'm glad you asked. What I would say to that is, man, I hate to play the double standard. I hate to do that. I hate to do it. I hate to do it. What I would wonder...
Selfish.
What I would wonder is, I do think with some men, not all men, with some men, they may have the ability, or they convince themselves they have the ability to disassociate the physical from the emotional. They feel like they can look at y'all as cattle, as meat, as just like, you know, strictly for lust and for the loins and not for something that's deep. Whereas opposed to maybe some of y'all, women, on the other hand, y'all really sometimes get wrapped up in the person that you're with, and it gets deeper, and the transfer of energy is even more potent. That's what I've seen in my lived experience. How true is that? I don't know. I've seen dudes who kill.
No, over women. I agree with that.
I've seen dudes who kill over women. You know what I'm saying?
No, I agree.
Plenty of men in prison right now over a woman that they were angry about, and they shot a dude or whatever. They wild out over.
I think that's just psychological.
Well, you know what? Because men can't handle it.
That too.
Men can't handle what we can't handle. The emotion of men can. Their egos hurt. So
men
they
can't handle what? Define it for me.
Men can't handle female stepping out on them, right? Men can't handle...
Okay, go ahead.
Female connecting, with the next guy. You can't.
Is that a thing? Is that a bad thing?
Wait, but...
Is that a negative trait amongst men? Like if a man is disappointed that his lady stepped out with another dude and he feels like, damn, I lost her. She don't idolize me no more. She don't look up to me no more.
Whose fault is that?
I don't know whose fault it is.
Whose fault is that?
Well, first of all, I would contest that it's still the woman's fault in that particular instance. Because, yo, you have a choice to make. You don't have to lay down with somebody if you don't want to. Ain't no gun to your head. You know what I'm saying? So, like, you have a, like, if things are rocky,
Maybe connecting with them just talking.
I'm assuming you're exclusive. If you're exclusive with somebody and you step out elsewhere, it's because you made a conscious decision to be intentional about having your cake and want to eat from the other jar as well. And you have to, and you as a person in that situation has to come to grips with that. Like, yo, I'm going to wild out here. I'm going to do something I shouldn't be doing. And I'll take the consequences. And that's fine if you can accept that. But I do understand how men are, a lot of men, they go off the honor system, the quote unquote honor system. What does that mean? A man feels like, if you're my mans or you're my peoples, we go to the mall, when we go to the block, whatever, and there's some drama there, I need you to have my back. I need to know that you have my back. I can rely on you. You're dependable. And that you're a man amongst people. Like, you are a dude that I can rely on. And men feel the same way about women that they marry or they wife up or whatever. They feel like, if I co-sign you, if I bring you to my mom's, just know I am co-signing you and the person you are, your ethics, your code, the whole nine yards. And that's a lot of responsibility. If you decide to wild on me, I'm going to say extra offensive. I'm going to be like, yo, man, I'm a dude. Like, if shit goes down, I need to know you're by my side. As opposed to women, I don't know if y'all have that honor system. I don't know if y'all think the same way about people.
Mike, from the first episode, I definitely have the honor system.
If men give us and be that loyal, whatever you said, like, yo, use my dog. You're supposed to be my dog, right? And then stepping out, right? So if the female step out too, why we can handle it. We're like, you know what, babe, I'm sorry. Like, I don't know. Like, I was drunk, right? We forgive. Why can't
Why can't what?
Why can't men? It's the ego. That's what I'm saying. It's ego. Wait, Mike. I have it. And I feel a lot of it is too that I was thinking about this morning. Like, I love it, but you always say that women are held up here, right?
Unfortunately.
Up there.
On a pedestal.
Right. Why? Who said that we have to be up there?
Oh, no, I'm with you on that. I mean, you're
like, who said, like me, like, I think very highly of myself, right? I have a great self-esteem or whatever and stuff like that.
You're bugging, but go ahead.
But where in the book does it say, like, you know, I feel like men, that's why men is like, oh, look at us. And it's like, when they see us doing all double standard, or like, they're just like hypocritical because why? Like, who said, like, because so long, it's just like, we're up here and we're like untouchable and we should carry ourselves. I agree, but sidetrack. Who said that? Like, who thinks that? Like,
Sin to what she's saying, to what she's referring to, I've always said that. I admit that. I admit that through sexism, through patriarchy, through misogyny, unfortunately, men have this thing where they feel like women should be held to a higher standard, to a pedestal, where, you know, they are treated, their actions are treated as more dainty, as more serious, and as more angelic than a dude.
Is it because we're supposed to be the nurturers?
That could be part of it. I didn't even really put that into play. That could be part of it. Like, you know, it's very hard for a guy to not trust his mother. Most guys are very fond of their mothers. They feel like, my mom could do no wrong, right? You know.
Because they feel safe with their mothers. It's the nurturing aspect.
Right. So they feel like, how could you, someone who's naturally reared,
to be a nurturer? You got some guys that didn't get raised by their mother.
Of course. But what I mean by that is, what she's tapping into is the idea that a lot of men feel like, yo, but you were raised or you were nurtured to be a nurturer. You were made to heal, to have empathy, to understand my woes, to understand my idiosyncrasies.
Keep going. You know what I'm saying? Coming out.
But how dare you be as much of a devil as I am? I don't agree with that. I think men, I tell men all the time, if you're going to walk on the streets, be ready to what comes back at you. You know what I'm saying? It is what it is. That's the law of nature. What did Isaac Newton say? For every action, there's a reaction. Yeah, for every action, there's a reaction. So I do feel like, to Isaac Newton's point, yo, man, don't, you know, and I tell dudes, by the way, you can be living a squeaky clean life. You could be on your A game, not doing nothing wrong, being a righteous man, quote unquote, and you still might come home to some wild shit. And that's life for you. It'll throw you a curveball, and you gotta learn to deal with it no matter what. But I do think, because of misogyny and patriarchy and sexism, we have been brainwashed as men to think, a woman is so angelic and so empathetic. No way will they deceive us. We have a physical thing. You know, on a windy day, it makes us attentive. We are just external with our lust, and it's hard to control it. It's harder to control it, no pun intended. So throw us a bone out here. Like, understand me. It's, you know, it's a physical thing. It's not in my heart. I've heard men try to convince themselves, I love my girl. I love my wife. It's just a physical thing elsewhere. And I'd be like, if you say so, my opinion, the true test of love is discipline, in my opinion.
What's the difference between in love and love?
You could love anybody, but it doesn't mean you're in love with them. I feel like when you're in love with somebody, you don't see anybody else but that person. You just want that person. You want a family with that person. You want a bill with that person. You want everything with that person. When you just regularly love someone, you could love them as in just caring for them. You know, you don't want them to get hurt. You want them to do good, be good. But you don't have that, like, spark with them. And you don't see that future with them.
What's
stronger, lust or... Hold on. Before we answer that, let me answer, because I love Cynthia's answer. What I would add to that is, I think to be in love is the ultimate measure of being selfless. Like, when you're in love with somebody, you are realizing that, I don't care what I ate today. I don't care, you know, what I got going on. I mean, I do, but I'm more worried about and more concerned about how they're moving along their day, their time. I'm more concerned about how they're getting by. Do they need me? Do they need help? You know, you're so selfless. You're so not worried about yourself in moments because you're consumed more with how they're doing, how they're getting by. And I think once you achieve that, that's probably the best way to know if you're in love and if you are, quote unquote, in love. I think it's a beautiful thing, but I also think it's something that you need to be weary of at times because
scary. It's a scary thing.
It's scary. You do give up some control, you know, initially.
I feel like you give up a lot.
A lot of control.
Is when you're in love, is that the one? Do you feel like that's the one?
It could be a one. I am not someone who subscribes.
So how many times do you fall in love to you find? How many times did you fall in love, Mike? And thought that it was the one. He obviously got it, but how?
Not the kid. Kia, you won. You won all of this. All of this. Invisible hair. What I would say is there is no such thing as a what do you call it? A soulmate? I don't think mm-hmm. so. Or not.
I feel like there's multiple.
Or not at least how it was marketed to us growing up. I think Disney and all these love stories and these children's stories growing up were all lies and fairy tales.
Literally fairy tales. They're fake.
Yeah. Fairy tales. Fake.
Like literally fairy tales.
I thought, you know, A Bronx Tale, Robert De Niro, A Bronx Tale, and Chaz Palminteri. Have you ever seen it? You ever seen A Bronx Tale?
I've heard of it. I've never seen it.
Saying you would love A Bronx Tale. Basically, it's about a guy living in the Bronx in the 60s, and he's from Arthur Avenue, and he grows up. He witnesses a killing mm-hmm. from an OG mobster guy on the block, and he don't snitch. The cops come around, he don't snitch. Why? He don't owe the mobster anything. He's a square. He's a civilian. He's a young boy. He don't snitch. And that mobster says, wow, that kid, I'm going to be there for him in his life. I'm going to mentor him. I'm going to show him the ropes of the street life. And I'm going to be there for him. And they build a bond, even though his father, who's a civilian, a bus driver, he don't like it. You know what I'm saying? But the mobster, Charles Palminteri, it's a true story about his life. He says, you know, every guy gets three great women in their life. He says, every guy gets three great women in their life, and they teach you love in different ways. I'm paraphrasing. And I would say that is sort of accurate. So to answer Jocelyn's question, have I thought that in the past? Absolutely. I feel like, oh, wow, I could do this now at 21 years old, and we could figure out a life from here on and you know, and figure it out. I think I'd have a good life. And that didn't work out. Then you're like 24 or whatever, and like, wow, this person from a different angle, the way they get me, the way we're connected on an intellectual level and et cetera, they're a totally different person from the last person. They satisfy different avenues about me, different attributes about me, and I like what they bring to the table. This could be it. I could see myself being with them forever, and that didn't work out. And here I am today. I'm my third true everlasting love. I said to say, I don't think there's a such thing as singular, solely one soulmate. I think you can have moments where you connect with people on a different wavelength, and it could be everlasting if your egos and your pride didn't get in the way. I think sometimes, you know, our own maturation or lack thereof does or doesn't prepare us for what's to come. You know what I'm saying? There's people out there who got married at 20 years old and they've been straight forever. You know what I'm saying? One of my cousins. She, her birthday was the other day, and her grandmother, they had like 80 years together. Married 80 years. No, 70 years. Married. Rest in peace, to Mommy Clark. 70 years married. How do you do that? How do you get 70 years marriage?
Oh, that's a lot.
That's what I look more for, because I have to be able to like you. If I'm gonna, you get what I'm saying?
Of course,
like,
of course.
I gotta be able to, not just in love and we doing this, like, I gotta be able to like you. Like, we gotta be friends and we, you know, gotta tolerate each other. Because if we doing life, I can't. Because there's gonna be some days that I can't stand shit out of you. Like, what?
I will say, though, you know, back in the days, it was way different. Remember, like how we were talking about earlier, you know, women didn't have a lot of rights that we have now. So back in the days, women had no choice but to stay with the person that they was with so they can be good and have certain things.
True.
So that's why it's kind of hard to compare generations from before and now, because it's completely different.
They didn't have a choice. They didn't. And that's why they stayed home.
That's why marriages lasted longer and they stood together forever.
while the man was out there, they kept providing, you know? That's why you hear men back then have like 17 kids by 3 different females. Like,
that's true.
You know?
I don't extra kids.
And we had to stay quiet. So now that we're not quiet, we're voicing, right? And we got our freedom. We're bugging, right? We're the one that...
I didn't say bugging.
Crazy. Like, you know, like what?
I didn't say bugging. Selfish. And I didn't say bugging, and I wouldn't say that because, you know, I've seen the horrors of sexism. Yo, there was women in the 80s who didn't, weren't able to get a car insurance without a husband, or get a house or a loan from a bank without a husband present or a father present. So
even a
job.
Yeah.
I see how sexism has plagued our society for centuries. And, you know, I'm happy we live in a new era where it's like, yeah, like slut walk, or yeah, like, you know, I'm a woman, like I'm doing my own thing, like don't bother me, I'm good, and I respect that. I just feel like
it's always been there. Back then it was behind closed door. Now it's out in the open because it's almost like normal for females.
But at the same token, I have heard men say, "Yo, we live in the Me Too era now. I'm not hollering at women no more because I fear" that it might be misconstrued, taken wrongly. I might get in trouble. I'm not trying to get in trouble. Like, yo, if she wants to holler at me, she has to give me signals or at least approach me. But I'm too nervous to now, you know, be as aggressive as my forefathers.
No, man, just...
Well, you just said the word. You said the word aggressive.
Yeah, they just come out so aggressive.
That's the problem. Because they're... You could simply...
Say it. Let me tell you, female, right. If they find you attractive, female gonna be like... But if you come out thirsty or you come out aggressive, and that's the first thing you're coming out with, no, goodbye.
How does a man assertively, not aggressively, assertively approach you and you don't feel like, you don't feel like disgusted? How should a man approach both of y'all? I'll start with Sin. Should a man properly approach you? What is the proper way to approach you?
Is it like a situation where I know I'm going to see him again, or just like a situation where that's the only time I'll ever see him, so that's the time to actually make a move?
That, the latter. Never see him again. You'll never see him again.
I would say, okay, in a situation, like, let's say I'm in a store or something. He could come up to me and be like, oh, like, I think your hair looks pretty, or, you know, your makeup is nice, or your outfit look fly, or whatever. You know, something subtle. And then to be like, oh, you know, what's your name? You know, we exchange names or whatever. How you doing? How you feeling? And then ask, you know, are you in a relationship or, you know, not or whatever. And then if I say, no, I'm not in a relationship, then he should be like, okay, so like, can I get your Instagram or your number? Personally, I don't like giving out my number. I don't. Right. I'd rather give you my Instagram. Because I feel like if I give you my number, they automatically assume that like they can have you, not have you, but like, if they hit you up, you have to respond within, you know, a certain time frame. Or if they call you, you have to... Because I've been in those type of situations where I gave a dude my number and he would text me. And if I didn't respond in like an hour or so, he would text me again like, oh, so I guess you're too busy. And it's like, bro, like, calm down. Like, that's such a turnoff.
The sassy.
So that's why I'd rather give my Instagram. Because on Instagram, like, I don't really... It's not so, what's the word?
Serious?
There's a buffer there.
It's not so personal. Like, it's personal, but it's not so personal.
Right.
See, with me, it just say hi. But I'm different because I want to give you the look. The okay to come
what
over.
What is the look? Show me the look.
To come over. So that way, we're not wasting each other's time. Even if you come over, right, I'm giving you the look. That's the first step. Then you got to come and say hi, and then see where it goes from there. And I'm like, oh, well, okay. And then take it the next further. But first, let me give you the look, because if I'm not giving you the look, I'm not interested.
Okay, so I have to...
What if they come out of nowhere? Like, if you didn't even notice them?
Mm-hmm. What happens then?
Just the hi, and then, you know, hey, what's up? But it don't ask, like, a million one questions back to back. Like, hey, what's up? Have a little space, like, you know, period break, and then ask for the next one. Or allow me to reply back. But too much question while I'm there, especially if I'm vibing. Like, and then, so what you were saying, if I like you, or if I'm not like you, but if I'm interested, I want to know more about you, I'm giving you my number. But if not, and just like to brush it off, like, all right, let me see what you look like first. Like, you didn't give me the first impression. Damn, okay, you can have my number. But you know what? I have my gram. We're gonna exchange gram. I'm going to scroll. And
that's why I want the Instagram first, so I can catch up.
Then I'll see where you're headed at. And like, I look at the caption and your wording. It gotta be some substance there.
And if you have a picture sticking your middle finger up, I'm not doing it. I'm not talking to you.
Not giving. Because I feel men fake their first impression just to impress you.
Look how privileged y'all sound, saying. Oh, let me check your IG real quick. 20 years ago, you didn't have your laptop at the club. Let me see your MySpace real quick. Let me just log on to your MySpace.
Yeah, MySpace, yes.
Everybody got a modem? Let me just log on to your MySpace, see how you are real quick. Like, you just had to go to the
This
club.
Is freedom. See, like, we are able, there's no restriction on how we, you know, say things, right? Like, we just, how long we deal with it, like, I don't know.
And also, without the Instagram, you won't know a lot of things, because if you just give the number, they could be telling you one thing, but on the Instagram, they have a whole family, they got kids, they got this, they got that, and they're not saying that just based off
of that's what I'm saying, like, they're making the first impression, like, no, we're not doing that.
I can see Jocelyn in the club in 05. What should be head thing? Let me just go on the computer real quick. Hold on. Anybody got a keyboard? Hold on. Anybody got a computer? No, I get it. You want to buffer. You want to make sure that, you know, there is a way you can find out if they're psycho or not. I think a lot of times women, it's underreported how much women are nervous about their safety with some dudes. There's some weird-ass weirdos out there that, you know, you just, as women, I'd imagine, you cannot trust off rip. You just can't. You know, there's stalkers out there. This is weirdo. So I get it. I get that there's a need for women to verify who they're messing with, who they're talking to. I just feel like sometimes y'all block y'all blessings from guys for potential, because I told you, Jocelyn, and you said they're the quote-unquote GameStop dude. They're the guy with the, they're not outside, they have ripped jeans, they have a Goku anime shirt, whatever that means. I don't know anime too well. All my guy friends who love anime and Japanese cartoons, they give you shit for it. I don't know it. But, you know.
But is it really? So for me, I don't like anime. So, well, no, I don't want to use that as excuse. I don't want to use that as
excuse. I'm just saying, there's men out there who I feel they are quality. They probably are quality. But they don't fit the aesthetic, the external of what
right, that's what I'm saying. Because physical is the first. So is it really blocking blessings if you're not physically attracted to?
Physical is the first.
Right.
What I would say is.
And then you have the conversation.
What about
physical? And see what their mental is.
What about physical is the first? Yeah, you got to be clean. Yes, because I go first.
You have to be well-groomed.
Some of these GameStop dudes, they be dusty. I ain't going front. They be dusty. They have earwax and their hair is all, just out of shape. It's crazy.
There's a difference. You can tell when a man coming out of work, like a construction guy, you can tell they're coming out of work. They had a long day and they really work, right? You can tell, like, that's that the semi-dirty, like, work dirt, right? Now you can tell what men that does not, you know, and they carry themselves like that. You'd be like, how could you be attracted? Like, same thing for females. You know what I mean?
Yeah, but I know clean assholes.
Right, but that's what I'm saying. But first is, that's why first is the physical. Then you have the conversation. Obviously, you're going to find out whether they are assholes or not. And then it's not going to happen, you know?
Listen, you could tell a lot about a man by his shoes or sneakers.
Oh, yeah.
Yes, that's one of the first things I always look at, too. A well-put-together man is going to have clean shoes. I'm not saying brand spanking new shoes, but, like, there's guys that, like, their shoes are tore up. And it's like, okay, so how does your crib look? If your sneakers looks like that, how does your crib look?
So not the style of the shoe. It don't matter if you wear some granddad New Balances. Mm-hmm. That don't matter. But it's the, look at Sin's face. It kind of matters. What I'm saying is, like, it matters more so if you upkeep yourself well, if you take care of yourself day to day well. I get it. But man, you know, there are dudes out there who feel like, yo, in reverse, I don't mind the GameStop chick, or I don't mind the girl who is a little confused right now, doesn't have a whole lot going for herself, whether it comes to jobs or or education or et cetera, or she doesn't have a car or whatever. I accept her for who she is and I welcome her into my home. But it seems like men are complaining to me that in reverse, there's a standard that women have of men, of how to court them, how to approach them, and what to have ready for them. That they're like, yo, man, it's hard to please these women. Do you agree with them? Do you understand? Or do you feel like they're complaining?
First of all, why are you complaining?
Some dudes are frustrated. Some men are frustrated out there with the dating scene. It's not just, hold up, let me tell you, guys know this. They tell me this. It's not just y'all who are frustrated with the dating scene. A lot of men have complaints too, from what I hear, from what I gather. You know what I'm saying? They're like, yo, man, Mike, the pool's not that strong on their side either. Like
what are they complaining about?
They're saying to me that, yo, they're shallow. They're more concerned with money. They're more concerned with what I can provide for them versus how I can make them feel. They're more concerned with superficial necessities or yearns versus something deep for their soul. A lot of men have told me they feel like,
so they're not looking for the right females then. They're not attracting the right females. They're looking for the ones that are just transactional. Like, they want that
transactional.
That transaction. They're not attracting the ones that want to maybe build something.
Some people in response have made that point. Are you looking for a deep person or a Kim K? You know what I'm saying? What are you looking for? You know, what are you attracting and what are you looking for? And I would challenge my men, my guys, to say, yo, you need to define for yourself what attracts you. And you brought up attraction earlier when I brought up the GameStop dudes. I was taught from an OG, shout out to Vito, an OG of mine, Italian dude. He told me, and I might explain it, but he told me there's four pillars to a successful relationship. It's like a house, you know, 1, 2, 3, 4, and a roof. There's four pillars. The first pillar is attraction. Are you attracted to this person? Not necessarily the aesthetic, how they look, whether they're Kim K or Amber Rose or not. No, but just do they catch your eye? Does their smile and how unique they are catch your eye? That's the attraction. The second pillar is communication. Do you guys have a great rapport? Do you guys communicate well? Do you guys have a rhythm in communication? Do you guys live for each other's thoughts and ideas and words and want to exchange? And he was like, do you respect that woman or man, if you're a woman? Do you respect her? Do you have a natural respect for her ethics, her code, her stance on things, her brain, how she moves, her actions? Do you respect it? And he said, lastly, do you trust her? Do you trust her word? Do you trust how she moves? Do you trust that she has your back? And do you trust that she's dependable? And he's like, Mike, whenever a relationship fails, at least one of those four pillars of that house crumbles, and that house crumbles. So, like, if you're not attracted to her no more, you lost that lust. You lost that look in your eye of her with that smile. You don't find it the same no more. You don't look at it the same. If y'all don't communicate no more, y'all have bad communication. That means things get lost in translation. She said one thing one day, you didn't hear her well, you didn't receive it well, so you snapped at her back and forth. But y'all just don't talk the same no more, and y'all don't have the same rhythm with communication. He said, if you don't respect her no more, if there's something going on where you don't respect her as a person and her values, et cetera, something changed, that's grave territory. Now, obviously, we all know if you don't trust her no more, then all bets are off. Like, what are you doing? You know what I'm saying? It's bad. So he always told me one out of four, at least, can fuck up a whole situation, can implode that household. So
I agree with that because it just triggers.
It trickles down. So, you know, when you brought up attraction earlier, I do think attraction is relative. But like you guys said, I do understand that there is some things off rip you got to have in order, how you take care of yourself. Because I would imagine that y'all could confirm or deny this. I do think as women, if you see a man well-kept or well-groomed, take care of himself, you know that he's maybe somewhat dependable about himself day to day. Like, he's not loose. He's not a mess. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
So I understand that. But I do feel like, at the same time, I feel like sometimes your standards for some guys or for your own love is so high, y'all are ignoring or blocking blessings. But that's me rambling. What do y'all think?
I don't think the blocking the blessing, I don't know. I don't agree. At least I haven't experienced it yet, because I feel like if I'm not attracted, I'm not attracted.
I feel like I have to be attracted to the person I'm with, because if I'm not, I'm gonna get bored and I'm gonna have a wandering eye.
Right. It has to be some type of something, like interest. Like my ex, he was not my type, right? But we had a friendship before then that built up to it, right?
What is your type?
Huh?
What is your type?
Like we talk about this, you know. I don't have a type. I have phases.
Phases. What an interesting phase.
So
what phase are you in now? I wonder. What
dreads are you in? That's the phase that she's in now.
I want my dreads. Blood clot.
I mean, you don't have to be Jamaican to have dreads, but I'm into like you. It's just that, like, that's the phase. Before then, I really don't have. I just don't. I know I don't date my own kind, which I'm Puerto Rican. I don't date my own kind.
And why is that?
Family exposure, like what I was exposed to and what they did. So I always carried what they are because it's been proven many times of my own kind. So it's just like within the family and outside, like in, you know, in the community. So it's just like, no.
Is that fair? Is that fair?
Yes.
Damn. So right now they could be, because full disclosure, you are Puerto Rican. You're from the island. You're born and raised. You came from the island. So right now there could be a Puerto Rican dude out there. Who meets probably your needs on so many levels.
And has dreads.
Has dreads. Wepa with dreads laid out. You may have automatic blinders onto him because your trauma has instructed you not to look that direction. Am I right or am I wrong?
It's not so much trauma, it's just turn off.
Turn off.
But also, like, if a Puerto Rican, you know, have dreads, I'm okay with it. I guess I'm more so like the real, like, Puerto Rican, like, my island type thing. Because I was born and raised, I grew up here. So I'm more Americanized, you can say, than actual Puerto Rican, the tradition and everything, like, you know. But so for me, I connect more with my American, the English, the music, the this, you know, whatever. So I connect. So to date a full Puerto Rican, it's hard. I wouldn't be able to connect with them in such a way if I dated an American. But I don't find them attractive. I don't know why.
I get it. I'm teasing, but I get it.
Seriously, I don't know why. I don't.
Insane.
You have to have a little mix. Give you a little street mix, you know? And then maybe.
I think sometimes, Sid, you've hinted at that street mix too. Well, maybe not street, but that you want that New York aesthetic, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
What is it about?
I need my person to have some type of swag.
Swag. Yeah. That's the word you use, swag.
New York swag.
And, you know, I feel bad for the men out there who don't have swag because I understand that. Yo, I'm going to tell you right now, from day one, I've never had swag. I've never had, when I was single as a bachelor, I never had swag. I never had game. I never had game.
But you got your personality there, I can see that.
I guess so.
Conversational wise, like, you know, like you can carry a good conversation.
I've always had honesty.
So that's your game.
Honesty has always been on my side. And
Mike is lying, Sam. Mike is lying. Yeah.
I'm not lying. I'm not.
You're not.
No.
Right, because he had like 1,000 love letters and shit.
You know, you have confessions and.
Yeah, but that's not from game though, man. To me, game is like pre-rehearsed, like just like mantras and game and talk and you know, lines to use and stuff to write down and remember what to say to the girl. That's not me. I don't have nothing pre-rehearsed. You know what I'm saying? I've always been live action, you know, always been. To my detriment.
It's not so much game. It's just like the hook in a story. Like, you know what I'm saying? You got to have like that, you know, like you got to have the hook like to gain, right? Like you got to have some type like, and you got to be able to like understand what's going on and maneuver. Like, you know, like.
Be flexible.
You got to be flexible.
I've had that growing up.
Like I should be able to go to a Spanish concert. And then at the same time, go to an American concert.
Like, a chameleon type.
Yeah.
So you guys like guys who can move in any circle, who can be comfortable in themselves in any circle.
Adaptable.
I get it. I think when I was single, I fell into that where I was comfortable in different cultures, different rooms, and being able to, you know, make connections elsewhere. I also sympathize with the guys who don't, but feel like they still have a lot to offer to women And I'm like, I would tell these dudes, hey, listen, you may have to just go date a white girl or just like, I don't know, keep
maybe looking. Maybe they're looking elsewhere. Maybe what they have, like their expectation or their standard of what they want their female to like, to look like or be with, they can't attract them. So they gotta change their parents.
Oh, to your credit, to your point. I don't really entertain dudes in conversation who are trying to punch above their means or punch above their weight class or are having fantasies about Kim Kardashian. It's like, dude, it ain't gonna work. That's just fantasy. And I'm saying, come back to reality. So I don't deal with those kind of men. I'm only talking about guys who I feel like have a shot and one in love for what it is and are open to it wherever they find it. But I feel like we're so disconnected as a people today where, like, men don't trust women. Women don't trust men. No one wants to make the first move to, you know, break the wall down. A lot of men feel like, it's not my job to do it. Y'all should lead. A lot of men feel like, well, I've been trying to lead all my life, and I've been told that to fall back and let us choose you or give you the eye or whatever. And it's like...
Society?
Society
making us like right here and who's gonna make the first move? What happened there that
I mean
ego
from who though?
Both.
I think all sides have a part to play in reinforcing and reinstilling ego. We're coming up under 10 minutes left before we gotta cut off, but I wanna say I think ego has held us all back. I think forget romantic stuff, because I'm a married man for 13 years or 14 years. I think ego has held us back in friendships. You ever had a fallout with somebody and you're like, why the fuck are we not talking no more?
Right.
And after a while, you can't put your finger on it. And it's like, sometimes ego allows us to forget the root of issues and make us forget, was it even really worth it? You know, our ego is very powerful in reinstilling in us how to build us up. But in the process, we tear down common sense around us. You know what I'm saying?
Who carries the most? Who's more? The men?
Or physical?
Yeah.
Some would say women are men. I've heard that. Some would say women are. It's underlined or underreported how egotistical women can be.
Is it ego, or are we just so strong in where we stand because we have these boundaries that we can control?
I think it's ego. And I think it just is, everybody is individual.
We're afraid of getting hurt. So it's just like, I'm going to put up this front. It's going to come out as ego, whatever, and stuff like that, because I'm afraid of getting hurt. Is there a difference between ego and pride?
Yes.
Some would say, we carry the pride and men don't carry the ego. I think pride holds us back.
I can see that. I can see how men are egotistical and women are prideful. But I think both are interchangeable. I think sometimes pride can be a useful characteristic. Yes, it is a seven deadly sin. And it could be wielded wrong and dangerously. But I do believe that pride, for me personally, pride has saved my ass from a bunch of instances, a bunch of outings that turn bad. I'm like, word, that's what happened. I didn't go out there. My pride told me to stay home and fuck y'all. You know, I've had my pride save me from some crucial moments in life, but maybe my pride has driven folks away. You know, there's people that are in my life 25, maybe 30 years ago that I thought we would be best friends for life. No way me and Terrell won't talk no more. No way me and Nancy won't hang out no more every day. No way me and Christian will be kicking it every day. We've been doing it for the last 10 years from ninth grade on. And then one day you realize, what happened? Why are we not together no more? And you realize, oh, I could have said something else there. I could have ended that conversation better. I could have called them back from that argument. I could have whatever. And you realize sometimes that pride and ego makes 1 week turn to 10 weeks, turn to a Thanksgiving text, turn to, oh, where you got kids now? And you're like, where did the time go?
Just Instagram friends now.
Yeah, that's sad.
Yeah, catch up on social media, look at each other's pictures or whatever.
Right, and I feel like that comes from, we lose connections off of pride and ego, you know? You know, we lose connections out of that. And once upon a time, that person meant something to you. You know what I'm saying? They meant something to you, you know?
Last question, y'all.
Go ahead.
What's more important in a relationship?
Go ahead.
Loyalty or love?
Go ahead, Sin. You answer first.
I'm going to say loyalty.
And why do you say loyalty?
Yeah.
Because love comes and goes, and loyalty is something that even if bad terms or good terms, it should still be something that stands. Because I've been on bad terms with people, and I will still stay loyal. So I feel like that holds more weight. Because as long, we could be on bad terms, but if I know that you're still loyal and if I know that my secrets or whatever are still safe with you, then I'm going to always have that love. Even if it's not, you know, to the extreme, but that love will come with that loyalty. But I feel like loyalty is still stronger than love. Because you can have love and still not be loyal. So it's like, is that really love?
I like that answer. Dare I answer? I want to say, there was a part of me that was going to say love, because I was going to say, well, I would imagine it's love because, you know, because we are, humans are infallible, you know, we're not perfect, that, you know, you can love someone and still, you know, mess up mid-friendship, mid-social, mid-relationship, and still have genuine love for them. But I said the word discipline earlier tonight, and with discipline, it takes a daily sense of duty to that discipline, mm-hmm. to what you're doing, whether it's a gym regimen, whether it's a nutrition regimen or whatever it is in life, if you're staying disciplined to it, that means you're loyal to it. You're not wavering. And that loyalty and that discipline is very important.
So does discipline fall under loyalty or love?
I think so. I think it falls under loyalty. So as I hear your words, Sin, I'm like, damn, I'm kind of swayed into her opinion, into her line of thinking. I do feel like loyalty is the ultimate measure of someone's desirable honor to you. You know, if you're loyal to somebody, you can love somebody and be like, damn, I can't kick them right now. I can't kick that feeling of them. It'll take time. But right now, I'm stuck on them. And it's going to take time for me to get away from it. It's inexplicable. It's sometimes not intentional. I don't mean to love this person. It's just, it is what it is at the moment. It'll take time. But when you're loyal to somebody, it's intentional. I mean, in my daily regimen, my daily discipline, I mean to be loyal to them. I'm intentional about it. I'm making necessary steps in my pathway to ensure that I rock with them only. I focus on them. I am loyal to them. It's a daily practice. It's the same like a Muslim person taking time out their day to bend down 5 times a day to pray. Because if they're intentional about it, they're being loyal to God. You know what I'm saying? I look at it from that respect. It's damn near spiritual to be loyal to somebody because you're in tune with yourself and in tune with them without them even knowing it.
And it shows your principles and loyals.
And your ethics.
You guys say, I'm loyal to this person over love. So you really don't love the person. How could you be loyal to somebody that you don't love?
Well, to Sin's point, I think to be loyal is to have some type of reverence or love to somebody. That's what that means.
It's not
what,
it's then, a, like I, you can be loyal, but
well, you can principles. Just talk about ethics. Go ahead, Sin. Go ahead.
Yeah, it's principles and morals. Like, is where you stand as a person. So, like,
well, I was asking in reference in a relationship, right? Friendship, that's different. Family, okay. That's different. I'm saying in the relationship, what's more? What would carry?
Well, I would imagine, to Sin's point, even if something, if there's a bad situation and from love, from relationship, you're still in the aftermath, be like, listen, it ended badly, it ended crazy, but I'm not going to let the world know that you like to have sex with clowns or whatever. Like,
it's still loyalty for me, yeah.
Or loyalty. Like, I'm because still, go ahead.
Mike said earlier, you know, that he knew some guys or whatever that, like, they would cheat on their girl, but then still be like, oh, no, but I love my girl. But it was like, if you're not loyal to your girl, how do you love her?
Exactly. I'm sure, Johnson, you would feel the same. Like, dude, how do you love this woman if you're being disloyal to her? You would question his love to her.
Definitely. But again, it goes back to how you love somebody.
Well, then you get to the whole can of worms of what's your love language? I like words affirmation.
Like, how can you be loyal to someone that you don't love? Is it really love?
It's about who you are as a person, yeah. Your moral and your principles. Because I don't have to love somebody to be loyal, but being loyal is just the type of person I am.
I think some would say.
So then why are we being... Because for me, loyal, being loyal is something strong. So if I'm being loyal to you, that means I'm taking in all of you, right? I'm taking all of you, right? I'm loyal to the full. Like, we doing this. We going to rob a bank together. We not selling nobody. Like, we're doing a relationship. Like, I don't see no one else, right? But I definitely got to have love there for me to go hard for you. Like, you get what I'm saying?
It's probably situational because I think for me, or maybe Sin, from what I gather, you know, sometimes the honor system of saying to yourself, listen, I don't fuck with this person no more. I don't fuck with them. You know, we had a bad situation. They embarrassed me. It's fucked up. But I'm still not going to air out their business. I'm still not going to wild out on them because I want to respect what we had once. And I want to have, I want them to know that I'm still solid as a person. My word was my bond. And sometimes how you're perceived as far as honorable, that matters to you as a person, how you perceive it. And that's that respect. So I get it. And how that person gets to know after the fact, damn, I didn't dirty, and they still didn't wild out on me. They still, damn, that it shows that they're a better person than I am. There's that too.
So it depends on the person. I agree with that. Okay, yeah. But what about in the relationship? And is the man loyal if he keep on cheating and you sitting there? Are you still sitting? Females that still stay after
are females that don't love themselves
after that, but. Hello. I'm loyal to my man, right? I signed up for this. I married this man.
Yeah, but no, that's the difference. Like, if you married to somebody and he keeps doing you dirty and he's not being loyal to you, then you're wasting your time. Because why are you going to be with somebody who's not being loyal to you? I'd rather take loyalty over love. Or at least loyalty first and then love.
Loyalty first then love. I understand the concept, Jocelyn, of people saying loyalty first then love. I understand how that sounds crazy as well to some people, like nonsensical. I get it. But I've also realized, humans are, it seems like humans love to have the cookie in the cookie jar. So because it's been normalized now to color outside the lines, it's been normal. You know, it's been normalized in the last, for a while now, to wild out on your people, wild out on somebody, like have a wandering eye.
Is he normal now?
It seems that way. Yo,
it's because it's easy to do. It's so easy to do.
Is it wrong?
Of course.
Is it wrong? I think it's wrong. I think any deception is wrong. Neo, shout out to Neo. He has a publicized...
For women.
What's it called?
No, anything peace.
What's it called? Not paranormal. It's called para... It
looks like a whole lot of BV activity.
Polyamory. Listen, if they all know about each other, there's no deception there. There's no deceit there. They are all well aware of what's going on. But when you deceive somebody, when you say, no, I'm solid, it's just me and you, just a two-man team, or really it's a 3-4-man team. And
men are selfish, because how can he love all those four women the same? Never.
He doesn't. He's taking advantage of all of them, and they're just his guinea pigs.
He's providing something.
Well, I don't know.
I feel men always been like that. They never satisfied.
Well, I don't know. I don't know. I don't know if...
It's just that when they get married, it's like they sign that commitment. And it's just like, shit. Like, I really got to be... I can't. That's it. But...
That's probably what makes them want to do it, because it's something that they can do. So it's like the rush of it. Like, damn, I can't do this. So it makes me want to... That's like somebody telling you, don't press the red button. It's going to make you want to press the red button.
And mystique will drive people to listen to the devil versus the angel on their arm, on their shoulder. I get it. You know, like I said, a lot of people want their hand in the cookie jar when they know better. Your mom told you, don't put your hand in there. And you want to do it anyway. I get it. It's temptation. Temptation is such a freaking evil. But I still think cheating is wrong, ultimately, because it's deception. Deception is wrong. You know, It's not fair if you have to do something and I don't have to do it. Just tell me. Like, oh, where? That's what we on? Let me do it too. And, you know, I'll see when I see you.
Would you be able to handle that?
If you tell me, listen, I have to do this, I would say, am I allowed to move freely? Are you okay with that? The answer is yes, and I'll find my way before.
And you know that I would look at you so wrong, because how long you been thinking about this? Not my thoughts.
But you started it.
My thoughts would be like,
You initiated it.
You were already probably doing you.
Yo, I brought that clip of Chantel Jackson, Miss Jackson. She told Nelly, we need a break. Go ahead, do your thing. We need a break. And what she do? What he do? He went back with Ashanti and got his ultimate.
Got married and a baby.
Back to that thing. The only reason why him and Ashanti wasn't together long ago was because Ashanti wasn't talking for him, right? Ashanti didn't allow for him to come. So I feel that even if he didn't have that break and Ashanti and him start talking, he definitely would have stepped out.
And here's where I disagree, and we might have to wrap it up soon, but where I disagree is I feel like lifelong bonds can happen anywhere, anytime, as long as the opportunity arises.
Well, he was settling with his fiance, with his ex, is what you're saying?
He could have, if things had worked out with him and...
Pictures don't lie.
He was settling, Mike. He saw the opportunity and ran with it.
Settled.
That quick. And now look, they have a kid together. They happily ever after. They got married, right? Didn't they? Yes.
Our next episode will be what is settling, because that's just a buzzword lately. Settling. And I feel like there's a negative connotation with settling where it doesn't necessarily mean a bad thing unless you view it as a bad thing.
I feel like settling in relationship is viewed wrong.
I feel like when people say I settled, they're trying to say I want a convertible, but I got the sedan van instead, or I got the mommy van instead.
Right, but it's different in relationships.
Oh, I think it's like that van is going to take you from A to Z too. It's just that it's not as sexy as you think it is, as the convertible, as the Porsche. But do you need the Porsche? The Porsche can't, you know, the drop top Porsche can't get you through a snowstorm. Porsche, but the van,
all the others that's going to pay for my...
Yeah, but the
bill.
But the soccer mom van is good in the snow. It gets you through tough times, you know.
Hey, but those transmissions still break.
Hey.
But that, listen. My aunt had a Beamer one time, and she was like, go get something from the store. I said, all right. It was a snowstorm. So snap. And we were stuck in the snow for like 2 hours. And I'm like, look at this beautiful car that's worth shit right now in the snow, stuck. But if I had a mommy van, we'd be in and out. You know what I'm saying? So it's like,
Depends on the storm.
And y'all love storms, the women. And on that note, let's wrap it up. Jocelyn, I'm so happy you came. You did so well, even though you're so selfish. Sen, I'm glad you came back. I feel like it flew. I feel like time flew.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Even though we're running later than last week. But until next time, we'll continue this conversation because I have some points to make. Jocelyn, you're crazy. But Sen, anybody, any last words?
No.
All right, cool.
Men are selfish.
All right, I'll let you have that. Men are selfish. The men are selfish episode. All right, until next time. This was Mike. That was Jocelyn. That was Sen. And we'll see you next time.
Later, guys. Have a good night. Thank you.
Bye.
Get the feedbacks.